All right. Well, let's open God's word this morning. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read just verses 15 and 16. Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Interesting. This is Jesus' ministry is kind of just like really taking off. I mean, he is trending up here. News about Jesus is getting around. People want to hear Jesus. They want to be around Jesus. They want to see Jesus. They want to be healed by Jesus. And so crowds of people are starting to find out where Jesus is and try to be near him and try to be ministered to by him. And so the news about Jesus is spreading all the more. Crowds of people are coming, but notice that last line, but Jesus often, everybody say often, often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, how many of you believe that Jesus is the ultimate role model for all of us? Amen. We read this passage of scripture and we go, well, I mean, how could Jesus do that? Why would he withdraw? I mean, there's people that really need him. There's people that need to hear what he has to say. There are people that need healing. I mean, wouldn't Jesus want to get the most out of every day? So apparently for Jesus, getting the most out of every day also meant resting and getting alone with the Father, getting away from all of the hurry so that he could focus on God. Apparently, that was part of what made Jesus so powerful, was that he didn't always hurry himself. There were many, many times that Jesus just slowed down and spent time with the Father. So if Jesus is our ultimate role model, our title this morning is Slow Down to Go Far. Slow down to go far. This message is for you this morning if you feel too stressed to feel blessed. Now, we're all blessed. We're all blessed. Sometimes we don't feel blessed because we're stressed. And we're stressed because we're trying to put too many things in a day and not taking enough time to be with the Lord. To go far, we need to slow down. Sometimes less really is more. Now, this is kind of a follow-up message to last week where I talked about distractions. This morning we're going to be talking about the importance of resting your soul, the importance of finding rest. Now, this idea of rest it's been a part of God's plan for his people since the very beginning of time. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 29, bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Now, I want you to notice the word given there. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was not something that was to be like a yoke upon them. The Sabbath was actually a gift from God to the people. God has given you the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift to you, a time of rest. Now, I know over the years, a lot of people have made the Sabbath day kind of legalistic. In fact, even the Pharisees of Jesus' day, remember, they had made the Sabbath day kind of a legalistic thing and actually used it to kind of religiously oppress people. But one of the things that Jesus said about the Sabbath in the hearing of the Pharisees, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He was teaching them, look, this isn't legalism. This is a gift to you. God has given the Sabbath. God has given you rest because it's important for you. So I want to share with you four principles this morning about resting, why resting is important to us biblically. First of all, resting recognizes that there is a sacred rhythm to life. There's a sacred rhythm to life. When we rest, we restore our body, but we also restore our soul. Now, the first mention of resting in the Bible, interestingly enough, was that God rested. Remember the story of creation. For 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then on the seventh day, the Bible says that God rested from all his work. And he made the Sabbath day holy. God rested from all his work. Now listen, church, God didn't rest because he was tired. God is limitless. He is all-powerful. He has inexhaustible energy. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired and needed to rest. God rested on the seventh day as an example for us to follow because we are created in his image. And unlike God, we do not have unlimited strength, right? We've got limits. And so God was teaching us from the very beginning of time the sacred rhythm of life, that for 6 days you can work, you can play. On one day a week, you need to rest. Resting recognizes that there's a sacred rhythm to life. And when we violate that sacred rhythm, we put our very soul, the health of who we are, we put that in jeopardy. There's a sacred rhythm to life that requires us to rest. Secondly, resting allows us space to connect to God. It gives us space to connect to God. I want to encourage you in this holiday season, as we approach Thanksgiving, make Thanksgiving about giving thanks to God. For a Christian, Thanksgiving isn't just, I'm just a thankful person. That's good, but we take it a step further. We know who to give thanks to, amen? It's about giving thanks to God. Make sure that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Connect to God. A week ago Friday, I took two of my grandsons, Elias, who's 5, and Ezra, who's 2. I took them fishing. And now Stephen was there. I'm not crazy, all right? I'm nice, but I'm not crazy. And so Stephen was there too. But the fishing place we were going to, the fishing hole I wanted to go to, it was about a mile walk in. And so not a long ways for me, but for these kids, kind of a little hike. And so we parked the car, and we're walking along the trail. It's a beautiful, beautiful walk. And we get about a half a mile in, and it's a little muddy. And I just take Elias by the hand through this one portion where he could use a little help. I took him by the hand, and Elias, without me saying anything first, Elias just said, "Grandpa, I love you." Now, I'm here to tell you, the rest of the day, I could care less if we caught a single fish, right? That's just a grandpa's heart. And I want you to know, I'm not, you know, God's ego, you know, God doesn't need, you know, ego boosters like we do. But I'm here to tell you, when God's children just take time to spend with him and just say, "Father, I really love you," I think that means something to God, don't you? And so resting allows us that space just to spend with God, to worship him, to connect to God. I think this is such a classic example of what I'm talking about this morning. It's the 23rd Psalm. And I know it's such a maybe kind of an overdone psalm. It's really my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. It still is. And I'm going to read this out loud, and I just want you to allow this psalm to just minister to your spirit this morning. And so I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't normally ask you to do. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, all right? Just close your eyes, and I'm just going to read the words of this. And I wish I had a better radio voice, but you get my voice, all right? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, how many of you just find just, you know, the few seconds it took to do that, it just kind of did something for your spirit? Anybody this morning? Yeah, just does something. Resting allows us space to connect to God. We all need that. Number three, resting is an opportunity to affirm that our trust that God is our provider. To affirm that God is our provider. He is the one that's going to meet the needs in our life. The day you gave your life to Jesus Christ is the day that God took parental responsibility for you. When you gave your life to Jesus, God took parental responsibility for your life. To be with you, to protect, to provide. One of the great stories of provision in the Bible is found in the book of Exodus chapter 16. And in Exodus chapter 16, the people were grumbling about being hungry. And remember, God provided something very special for them, a miracle that was called manna. And so every day the people would wake up and they would come out and just, they wouldn't have to, all they'd have to do is go pick it up off the ground. God would provide it. It was just like dew in the morning. They'd come out and there's the manna. There's God's provision for the day, every single day. But there was two rules with the manna. One of the rules was they weren't to store up any overnight. Okay? So the temptation, of course, would be like thinking, well, what if God doesn't show up tomorrow? What if there's no manna tomorrow? I'm going to save a little extra. And you remember what happened when they did that. It got wormy. And God was showing them, no, you can trust me every day. It's going to be here tomorrow. You don't need to save any up. It's going to be here tomorrow. Because there's a temptation, there's a fear of lack in our lives. What if? What if God doesn't provide? So God was teaching them, no, you can count on me. The second rule about the manna was they were not supposed to collect any on the Sabbath day, which was for them Saturday. So they were to collect twice as much. God gave them twice as much on Friday. So he provided for Friday and Saturday on Friday. And then, of course, people had to test that one out. So they come out on the Sabbath day and they go look for it and there's none there, right? Because God was teaching them to rest on the Sabbath day. And this lesson was going to really come into play when they moved into the promised land and they were going to have their own orchards and fields and vineyards and stores. And then they were going to have to learn to take that day and rest and trust that God would provide. Because, of course, if they would work 7 days a week, they would have more, right? I mean, if you work 7 days a week, there's always that temptation. Yeah, if working 6 days is good, then working that seventh day, man, how much more could we have? More, 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 more. We have a constant urge for more. More. If a little is good, then more must be better. And that's how we are with money, with possessions, with sex, with about everything. If a little is good, then more has to be better. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 reminds us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This urge for more, 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 more. There's a price to pay for that, right? There's a price to pay for that. They have pierced themselves with many griefs. So the antidote to that is to trust God. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content. Everybody say content. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Resting is an opportunity to show that my confidence is in the Lord, that God is my provider. Number four, resting provides margin to build healthy relationships. Building healthy relationships. Because if we go, 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 go all the time, which is the American way, then it costs us in terms of our marital relationships and family, church family, friends. It costs us. There's a price to constantly going and having no energy left over for the people that we love. When we do life at a breakneck pace, the things that suffer are relationships with others. So I want to just give you a few suggestions for the holiday season, okay? Here they go. As we approach the holiday season, number one, learn to say no so that you can say yes. We don't like saying no because we don't want to offend people and we feel like we always have to say yes. But the reality is, if you say yes to everything, you're saying no to some important things, right? And the reverse is true. When you learn to say no to things that don't really matter very much, you're really saying yes to things that are more important. So learn to say no, and remember that when you say no, in reality, you're saying yes to something that's better. Learn to say no so you can say yes. Secondly, unplug. Unplug, unplug. Man, unplug that phone and unplug from the television and unplug from your iPad a little bit. In this holiday season, take some time to just unplug. Can you say amen to that? Come on, are you still with me this morning? Yeah, unplug a little. And then number three, this one kind of goes along with unplugging a little bit. Take a vacation from politics and social issues. Now, I'm telling you, as I preach to you today, if I point a finger, there's three fingers pointing back at me. I need this as much as anybody. Man, I found myself last week, man, stressing so much. I was so upset by this thing in Florida. And I'm reading about it every day. I'm stressing out. I'm reading about it, man. I'm just checking the news all the time. Okay, what's happening in Florida? What's happening in Florida? And I just feel like the Lord finally said, Tim, you know, you can't do anything about what's happening in Florida. There's nothing you can do about that except for pray. And I just felt like the Lord was kind of redirecting my spirit a little bit. It needed to be. And so I would just encourage you, listen, politics and social issues, all right, they're going to always be there. And I'm not saying they're not important. We should be involved. But I also know for every one of us, once in a while, we just need to take a break. Right? You just need to take a break. And let your soul be replenished from those things that just drain us, okay? Next thing in this holiday season, practice the freedom of simplicity and contentment. The freedom of simplicity and contentment. And for those of you who are parents, teach your kids to do the same thing. Your kids don't need to have the latest and the greatest, mom and dad. You don't need to put financial pressure on yourself and pile up a bunch of credit card debt because you think your kids need to have what everybody else's kids have. It's a trap. Teach your kids simplicity and contentment and family instead of things. Simplicity, contentment. Next, give yourself the gift of quiet, uninterrupted time with Jesus. It's a gift. Give it to yourself. Just say, okay, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Quiet, interrupted time. Replenish your soul. Refresh your relationship with the Lord. And then lastly, intentionally schedule unhurried time with your spouse, family, and friends. Intentionally, and you've got to be serious about this. You've got to be intentional about this. Unhurried time with your spouse, family, and friends. Now listen, I've got nothing against going to movies, but going to a movie is not really a date. Come on, nobody's talking to one another, right? You're not really spending time. You're spending time as a family, but no, there's not a lot of interaction going on with one another during a movie, right? So intentionally schedule unhurried time with your spouse, family, and friends. Man, get out those board games or a deck of cards, or right? Bake some cookies together. Bring some to your pastor's house. Yeah, just have some family time. Yes, just what I need. All right, we're going to close with this. Great promise from Jesus. Great promise from Jesus. Here we go. Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. There's that word again. Rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask anybody here that you just feel like, man, I'm so frazzled and weary, and I needed this today. I needed my pastor to give me permission to rest and unplug and slow down. All right? If that's you today, would you just raise your hand right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, that your burden is easy and your yoke is light. God, I pray that you will teach us, Lord, to say no to things that aren't as important, those urgent things that will drain us in order that we can say yes to things that are important. God, I pray that this holiday season, Lord, is not going to be spent like the rest of the world does holidays, worn out and frazzled. But Lord, that we're going to take time to rest. We're going to take time to be with one another. We're going to invest in our relationship with you. And God, we're going to take time to refresh our souls, God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, a little follow-up here. I just want to encourage you married couples. You might want to sit down. You might want to sit down later today or tomorrow evening or something. Just sit down and talk a little bit together as a married couple, as parents, if you're parents, and talk about your schedule for the holiday season. And even now, start to say, okay, what's really important for us, all right? And have a plan. Have a plan and make sure that that plan isn't too crazy. And allow this holiday season to be a blessing because that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for you.